When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
From the Fifth Quarter Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, you're listening to Coach Unplugged. And now, your host, Steve Collins.
Hey, everybody. Welcome. Welcome to Coach Unplugged. So excited you decided to join us today. Before we jump in and talk about the topic today, I'll get it out. I'm leaving that in. I'd like to give a big shout out to our two sponsors. First of all, Dr. Dish, the number one shooting machine on the market, bar none. They are awesome. They rock. Mention Coach Unplugged. They'll give you $350 off. Also, go over and check out teachhoops.com for coaches who want to get better. We have a special quote-unquote special going on right now where we're giving quarterly memberships. We're super excited about that. People seem excited about it. And then that maybe come in and join for 3 months and take a couple months off. I personally would never leave teachhoops.com, but you have that option. And it's great. So go over and check it out, teachhoops.com for coaches who want to get better. Let's head off to the podcast.
So let's just jump in and talk about your playing career and kind of how that developed and related to in the U.S. and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, so I guess to start, we touched a little bit on the Irish system already. And, so when I was young, I would have played with my school team, a club team, a regional team. And then I was lucky enough I captained the Irish under 16 national team. We played the European Championships.
And so where do those championships happen?
They were in Slovakia.
And who plays in that? Everybody from where?
Europe. It's the European Championships. There's different tiers. This would be tier B. Tier A would be, your Spain, France, Germany, Lithuania, Greece.
Italy. Okay.
So this was tier B. Played really well. Did a good job. And from that, I got some offers to go to high school in America.
Okay.
There was a number of schools asked me to come over. All over the Eastern Seaboard, really.
Right.
As you know yourself, different situations, different, scholarships. And so I finally settled on Notre Dame Academy, which was just outside D.C. in Northern Virginia.
Okay.
So that was a prep school. Really interesting. I went there when I was 16. So I left home when I was 16 to head over. Lived with a host family. Actually lived with my assistant coach at the time, Mike Teasley. His sister, Nikki Teasley, was with North Carolina at the time.
Okay.
UNC, and she went on to be drafted, and she won a championship with the LS Sparks after that, so it was pretty cool. The school was really good. We were in the Beltway Conference, so we would have played against, Kevin Durant was in there. Rudy Gay. There was a ton of different guys in that. In that conference, we were ranked number one in the Beltway for a number of weeks in a row. We ranked in the top 10 in America for prep school. So it was a real eye-opener going from Ireland when you're the tallest guy next to the basket to all of a sudden, there's guys bigger than you, more athletic and just another step ahead, you know, which was pretty cool.
And do you think that was important for your development?
Absolutely. I mean, it was definitely a case of a big fish in a small pond when I was here. And then it's the unknown, you know, and then to just be thrown into the middle of it was pretty cool. Like, I remember one story. I had just arrived in January 2002. I was supposed to go in September 2001, but then 9/11 happened, so all the visas and stuff got pushed back.
Right.
So that would have been, you know, after the midpoint of the season, as you know. So we're traveling down, going to a game. Now, at this time, I wasn't on the internet. We didn't have access to the same access that we have these days. It's very easy to look up a player or look up schools. And,
right.
So we were heading down to play Oak Hill Academy. I had absolutely no idea what Oak Hill Academy was or who they were, but I remember ringing my dad when we got back up to the house after the game. I think we lost by, it might have been 10 points. Got back up, I rang my dad, and I was thinking, you know, I gotta get the hell out of here. we just played against this kid named Carmelo Anthony, and he absolutely killed us, you know. But I had no idea at the time.
Right, you know, and Oak Hill, for people that don't know, Oak Hill's in the middle of like the foothills of it's like in the middle of nowhere.
And they have that wall when you go in, and all the college jerseys are up on the wall from their former players where they signed. And it's really cool experience.
D.C., interesting choice to go suburban D.C. because D.C.'s an interesting town. It's not like going to Chicago or Boston, or it's interesting. I mean, it's got definitely different. There's places in D.C. you don't want to go, and there's places in D.C. you do want to go, you know.
Absolutely. And then, you know, from an outside perspective, looking from Ireland to America, it's New York and DC and LA are the kind of places that you hear about, you know. So now, it was a good 40 minutes outside DC, but in American terms, that's not very far at all.
No. That's a suburb.
That was a pretty cool experience. So spent 2.5 years there. You know, I got to the point where it's almost a factory, you know, just the level of players that were coming in. It was incredible. You know, we had 30, 40 college coaches at every practice when it was open recruiting season. And
right.
Just to be thrown from, you know, trying to find a hall in Ireland to get some shots up and to try and find somebody to go and rebound for you, to all of a sudden being in that kind of setting, it was a real eye-opener.
Right. And so did you stay for college?
Yeah. So I got injured my senior year in preseason playing against Spalding Academy and Rudy Gay. It wasn't him, no, but we just clashed knees, and I did a lot of damage to my knee. It took almost a year to get back right again. But still, I had 11 or 12 scholarship offers, which is pretty good, obviously. Went to Winthrop Academy in South Carolina, Rock Hill, South Carolina.
Yep.
Virginia's funny in the sense that it kind of straddles the line between, you know, Northern culture in America and the Southern culture. So
it's more South. Anybody that lives in the North or in the Midwest would say Virginia South, but yeah, I know what you're saying.
But Northern Virginia around DC is a little different from Southern Virginia.
So. It is. Yeah. Oh yeah. They're definitely different. It's like,
So I made the decision. Look, Winthrop is obviously a great school. You know, I was there for 3 years. We went to the tournament 3 times in a row. Last year there, we beat Notre Dame in the first round. You know, Greg Marshall was the coach at Winthrop at that time. So,
okay.
And he went to Wichita State after that.
Right.
And has obviously done an incredible job since he went there. But that would have started long before Winthrop. You know, just the level of competitiveness and the level of detail in them practices was just, it was a real eye-opener. And it was something that I definitely kept with me going forward into my own coaching career. You know, I think with coaches, there's certain stuff you pick up and there's certain stuff that you say, you know, that's not who I want to be as a coach. And for me, they're both as valuable as each other, you know?
Right. I agree. I mean, I've said this a million times. That's why you got to find a lot of mentors, because you take a little bit, ooh, I like that, but I don't like that kind of thing. I think that's really important. I agree.
And it's realizing not to just toss the stuff away that you don't like, but if you try and understand it, and you know that's not what you like, then, you know, it excels your coaching career, I think.
I think it does too. So then you stayed in the States to go to college?
Yeah, went 3 years at Winthrop and transferred from Winthrop to Augusta State in South Carolina. In Georgia. Went from South Carolina to Georgia. So stayed in the heat. Man, them summers were brutal.
I'm telling you, like northern Wisconsin, Wisconsin gets really cold in the winter, but it's like it's the opposite down in the south. Like the summers are, it's like the surface of the sun. Yeah.
Explain it to people that haven't seen it. It's like opening the oven and you just feel that heat coming out of the oven.
It's the humidity. It's the humidity. Yeah, it's horrible.
In preseason in Augusta, we used to have to get up for running, for conditioning in the morning, as you do. But we used to do it at like 11, 12, and we had to change it to 5:30, 6 in the morning because the big Irish guy almost died a couple of times trying to run around the field in that heat, you know.
So right.
My teammates weren't too excited about having to get up at 5:30 for me.
Right. That's funny. Well,
yeah, and then, Augusta was cool. We went to the tournament again 2 years in a row. So I have 5 championship rings from college in America. Redshirt the 1 year at Winthrop. First year at Augusta, we made it to the final. NCAA final, lost in the final. And then we made it to the Final Four the next year. So it was 5 years in college for 2 different head coaches, but both extremely successful programs.
And were you coming back in the summers to Ireland?
Yeah, I was going back. It just depended on the time. You know, if I did summer class, obviously, I would get back to Ireland for 3 or 4 weeks. And if I wasn't doing summer class, I'd get back for, you
know. And was there any national team stuff? Was there any national team stuff at that point?
Yes. So it would have been the year I left Winthrop, 2007-8, and I went to Augusta. So that summer, I came back and started playing with the national team. My second year on the national team, Jay Larranaga, who's the assistant coach now with the Boston Celtics, he was actually a player coach for the Irish national team.
Okay.
Which was pretty cool. So, you know, all of a sudden, like, I was the only guy there that was in college at the time. Everybody else was pros. And most of them, there was more American accents on the bus than there was Irish accents, you know, so... A lot of guys with Irish passports at the time. But it was pretty cool just to be around that level of professionalism. Like, Jay is fantastic. Jay is a great coach. And it was a really interesting experience for me. You're in college, you know, you mess up, you get on the line and you run, you know. And, you know, that's standard enough. But now you're experiencing a really great players. Jay Larranaga had a great career in Italy and Spain and France and Europe in general. He'd be a very well-known man. But the fact that he was a player coach, you know, we mess up in a drill and he's like, all right, get on the line and run. And he's standing next to you running as well, you know. So that was a neat experience.
I love that. All right, so then what happened after that?
Yeah, so graduated. So
was your knee, first of all, was your knee 100% healthy at that point?
Yeah, it's back now. It really bothered me my freshman year at college. It's there's a lot of Irish kids now. We're starting to head over to prep school and head over to college. And, you know, I talk to a lot of them, and when they ask for advice, the biggest advice is just, if you're making that step from high school to college, is just to get in as good a shape as you possibly can. You know, as you know, the practices in college, 2.5-3 hours long. You know, the first 60-70% of it is conditioning, and it's drills and it's running. And
right,
you know, if you can get past that point, and if you're in good shape, it's the next 30% where you get to shine a little bit and play the games, and the coach sees how you
step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
How you operate after being so tired, you know. So
right.
not knowing, going into freshman year, not knowing the level, and it's tough until you experience it yourself. Like, not knowing the level of conditioning that you need was tough, and then having the knee injury on top of that, it really made that freshman year, you know, the knee would just blow up and swell, and you just start to get into a rhythm, start to play well, start to do well in practice, and then it just blows up again. You know? So it is one of them things that stay with me for a couple of years. But to answer your question, like, it hasn't bothered me in a long time now.
Right. Okay. So then how do you hire an agent? How does that work after, like?
Yeah. So again, there's so many tools, you know, like you have agencies where you go and you sign, and then you have, you know, the way it works now is there's just tons of guys on social media platforms offering to be your agent and offering to, and it's a bit of a minefield, you know, because you have to really know somebody that you trust, and you have to know somebody that's looking out for your best interest. And, you know, I feel like the thing in the back of your head always is, if they're representing two guys in the same position, like which one of their guys are best selling to the team, you know? So it's tough. I was lucky enough. I started working with an agent, but he would have played in Limerick profession for a couple of years. So there was a couple of guys in Limerick that would have known him.
And right.
Yeah, he became a good contact and got me that first gig.
So unlike the States, you just have an agent. That's it. Just an agent. Nothing else, right? No other people you have to put on your payroll.
Oh, you don't even put the agent on your payroll. The teams pay the agent. So once you go to a team, the team pays your salary plus it pays the agent fee as well.
Oh, so he doesn't take a cut off the top of you. He gets paid by the team.
Well, I'm sure you pay by the team. No, I'm sure that cut is coming. You know, it might come from the team, but
right.
It's coming from the same pocket, you know. But yeah, you don't essentially pay the agent out of your salary.
Okay. Okay. So they want you to get paid more, though. They get a percentage probably.
Exactly. So the more you get paid, the bigger percentage they get. But there's other, like, so my first couple of contracts, you'd have your apartment in there, you'd have your food in there, you'd have a car in there, you'd have medical. There's all different things that you have to check off the box as you're going. And I think the biggest difference between college and playing professionally is just the downtime. It's huge in comparison. You know, you're in such a routine of you're getting up and you're going to class and you're running from there to condition to individuals or weight room. And, you know, it's a busy day. When you play professional, you know, if you have a day off, that's your day. You know, you don't have to, there's no assignments to turn in. There's no homework to do. You got to do your practice with the team. And they'll tell you too, you know, go home and watch a movie. That's the best thing you can do for the team right now is go relax and rest your body, you know, which is
a
complete U-turn.
So I've heard a lot of horror stories of guys not getting paid. Is that true? Does that depend on the league? Does that depend on?
Yeah, it depends. Depends on the league, depends on the circumstances around. Like, it never happened to me. Okay. I always got paid, which was nice. There's a couple of hairy moments where you're sending emails and stuff, but I always got paid. There are a lot of horror stories. I've heard of guys that, you know, they've left 60, 70 grand on the table, just not able to get it. You know,
and
a lot of that depends on circumstance, really. If a team is going under, there's not really much you can do. If a team are hoping to get players for the next year, they'll tend to honor their commitments. But I think it's like any facet of business or sport or anything, really. You know, you have good people and you have bad people.
Right. And the problem is, I think it's a harder minefield for people, like you said, because there's so many different places you can play.
So many different places, so many different leagues. And, you know, there's always enough players. There's always some guy that's willing to take, you know, a crap deal just to go play pro and not quite understanding what's behind it and what's involved with it, you know?
Right. Right. So what do you think the hardest part about playing professionally other than the downtime is?
Ah, well, the downtime isn't hard. No, you get, You get used to that. But
I mean, the downtime can be hard, though, because idle minds can get in trouble. Like, as coach, I would not like, ooh, that would worry me. I mean, that happens in the NBA. You see it all the time.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
They have money. The problem is they have money and time, which is even worse. If you don't, if you have time and no money, you can only get in so much trouble. Yeah. But
yeah. I think the toughest part about playing pro is you have to realize that it's a certain percentage of people can do very, very well from playing, right? So
right.
You look at NBA players, but even in the NBA, you're looking at, you know, 450 of the best players in the world. There's a lot of them 10 years after their career, 5 years after their career, you know, they don't have money left. They've gone bankrupt or whatever, or they didn't sign good deals or whatever the situation is. When you start looking at leagues lower than that, you know, which is every other league in the world, but when you start looking at France has 7 professional leagues, now you're looking at, you're not getting paid enough to buy your mom a house. You're not getting paid enough to buy your mom a car. You know, you're kind of, it can almost be you play a season and you're spending your money in the summer and then you're going to go, you're looking for another team come August or September. So
right.
I guess the most difficult part is just for young players, especially is to really look at what category you fall into. You know, do I ever regret playing professionally? Absolutely not. I mean, some of the people that I've met, just incredible. You know, some lifelong friends. And for me, there was no better way to spend your 20s than, you know, traveling the world and playing basketball.
I tell
it's
my
pretty
students,
cool. And then,
yeah, I know. I tell my students all the time that your 20s are to figure out what you want to do.
Like, absolutely.
Yeah, you don't meet people, have experiences, and then you can go get a quote unquote a real job.
In
the sense that, you know, whatever, it's, you don't have responsibilities per se other than yourself. And yeah, I love that.
Well, that's it. And just being realistic with yourself, I think, is the most important part. For me, like a couple of teams, like I said, you're playing the season. You're enjoying your summer. You go home, like I had an apartment, you have a nice car, you have all that stuff. But then, you know, come August, September.
Hey, everybody. I hope you enjoyed the podcast. Make sure you subscribe, like, jump up and down, like I say. Tell your friends. That would be a good thing. Yeah, sell it. Share this on social media. And then also go over and check out teachhoops.com for coaches who want to get better. Have a great day.
Sports Social Podcast Network.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver? I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At chumbacasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.